For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Well, right off the bat, Curtis, I want credit. I would like some credit from you. Rare praise. I get bludgeoned by you all week, 6 to 10 a.m. on the Greg Hill Show. Just once in your life, can you give me a little credit? Brady made his television debut last week, and did you hear a word from me about it?
Did you not text the group?
I did not.
Oh, no.
Not a text, not a tweet, nary a reaction. I'm giving the guy a second chance. I'm giving him a second week. I don't want to overreact.
Oh, I mean, the only thing that matters is that the ratings were up 50% over Greg Olson a year ago, and the game was a blowout, awful
you
game.
You mentioned that, and I didn't mock it. So I would just like, can you praise me a little bit for being...
I mean, you're the brand manager of a radio station. It doesn't matter how the ratings come. If the ratings arrive, aren't you happy?
Ratings are good. Sustainable ratings would be better.
Oh, so you think they're going to go down?
I think they could fall.
So you think a nation that loves watching Tom Brady fail will turn off when he's not doing well?
I don't know. I'm giving him a second week. I'm not ripping him.
No, I'm just asking. So why would people not watch? People salivate over watching Brady suck.
Mostly it depends on the game.
The game was awful. It was a blowout.
It was a blowout.
It was honestly unwatchable. I mean, Deshaun Watson forgot how to play.
Upstanding human Deshaun Watson continues his...
I know. America hates Tom Brady, but roots for Deshaun Watson.
That's probably why they were tuning in. A lot of Deshaun fans.
Yeah.
Well, more Cowboys action tomorrow with Jerry Jones, who hates Robert Kraft so much he's putting anti-Stacey James stories in ESPN this week. It's a week of owners sort of dominating the headlines between that Kraft article. I don't know that dominated the headlines. And then last night is our right off the bat topic this Celtics New York Post piece, or is it the Brady Dolphins connection?
I think this morning we should lead with the New York Post because that's...
It's fresh.
It's fresh, and I think once we get on Brady, we're not going to get off. Okay. It is, first, if you missed it, there is a story in the New York Post where people that are, in my view, looking to decrease the value of the franchise are leaking potentially accurate but negative stories on the Grosbeck family.
Headline, but, dispute between father-son Boston Celtics owners over team's massive payroll sparked sale, sources.
So this has been a really interesting behind the curtain for me where, you know, we follow this closely. We cover these teams. We watch these games. We read everything, all that. And when I found out that Wick owned 2-3% of the team, I was gobsmacked. And I feel like everybody that's not a close personal friend of Wick felt the same way. Greg and I were, you know, adversarial on the topic. And now it is more clear than ever that Wick got the keys to the house, threw a huge party, didn't worry about any of the damages, and was celebrated as a conquering hero when it wasn't his money to lose in the first place.
Well, it kind of is. It's his inheritance.
Okay.
It's like you blowing John Curtis's inheritance before
right. He
passes. Hope that's not anytime soon, but you've done some damage.
Yeah, I have not spent $600 million on basketball contracts.
Okay.
And I would say pretty simply, whoever buys the team is not going to operate the business the way Wick did, which is bad news for Celtics fans.
Right. No, this makes Wick look even better. Like, Wick potentially ruined his own family reputation or inheritance or stake.
He
put his Celtics fandom on the line for you.
But he was spending somebody else's money.
Well, his dad's money. Again, it's all part of the family.
Well, not that he's an only child. I think he has four or five siblings.
Does he really? I actually don't know that.
Yes.
Okay. According to Wikipedia, he's got one child, Wick. H. Irving Grosbeck.
Okay. Dan Shaughnessy, who has been pretty tied in with the Celtics in this ownership group, would state otherwise.
Okay. Well, be that as it may, the details of this get into Irv Grosbeck, the now 90-year-old Massachusetts-born entrepreneur who has a controlling 20% stake, balking at funding big losses on the horizon from the massive contracts that Wick has put on the Celtics, in part to collect that 18th banner. So going forward, there is an estimation they're going to lose $80 million this year, this upcoming season. They are due for $80 million in losses, and it could spiral beyond that as the luxury aprons and everything start to head in.
So there are many ways that businesses like to show less, that like to mitigate their profits because of tax purposes. So if you own your own company, then you use your car as your vehicle of transport that can be a write-off tax-wise, that it was a purchase for you to do your job. You want to be as close to even as possible for public filings for the taxes so that you pay less in returns. So I think there are ways in which the Red Sox, for example, have said they break even. Sam Kennedy said that last year.
Break even business.
But what about Nesson? How do you value all the other elements of the portfolio that are tangentially connected to the organization?
Mm-hmm.
And it is my view that...
What about the MGM Music Hall? What about things around Fenway?
Like the Celtics, I don't believe are a losing entity. I do not. And I think that you could make the argument that for parking and concessions and tickets for the on-field, on-court product, because they don't own their building, they can show a loss. But I don't believe the team loses money. I think that everybody's cashing out with a massive, massive windfall.
But you would agree the Celtics, without owning the building, have much less to go on here other than direct team-related income.
Right, but you also would have less operating expenses, I would imagine.
Okay, but do you think they're going to lose $80 million next year?
No.
Is that false?
I do not. I do not think. I don't think there'd be people lining up at the door to buy a team that's losing $80 million a year.
Well, they could if they think the windfall is down the road. You just got to you got to own them now, and it'll pay off major dividends later. Sports
right.
franchises are not declining.
But we all view what in a world where there's very few growth industries, live sports remains, and radio, actually, if you actually want to look at what people still use the way they did, people listen to radio far more than they watch TV or did anything else like they used to. But the way in which we consume media, the only thing we watch live is sports. And now that there is the pervasive legalized sports betting, that is an industry that will grow. And we all said whoever purchases the team will have to find a site to build the new arena.
So to read both sides of the sourcing in here and the response by Wick Grosbeck, who's been a friend of your show, the Greg Hill Show at our station here late, and we, you know, appreciate him coming on. He's been, it's actually refreshing. It's what a rare owner that comes on repeatedly. He seems, don't you buy that his investment in the team, his passion for the team is legit? Like, that does not seem fake to me.
Right, but it's...
He does own 3%. The story reiterates that personally, and his father owns much more. Here's the sourcing. Quote, that's what happens when dad puts in most of the money. And then another source, Wick says we'll spend whatever it takes, but dad wasn't into losing money, end quote, referencing why they decided to suddenly put the team up for sale for estate planning purposes. Wick was reached for comment and said, quote, the Grosbeck family is selling the team for estate and family planning considerations. To say that the sale is in any way related to losses is completely incorrect. So
yeah.
I don't know. How does this relate to the fan, to the average fan driving around?
Bad news.
I think it is bad news, although this seems like a hit piece coming from New York. I don't know why it's coming from New York. I don't know what the relation there is, but I think you're right in your instinct. Somebody is trying to devalue
the
franchise.
Well, want to play a fun game of guess the source?
Okay, sure, I love that.
Okay, so do we have any music? No. So what are one of the three teams vying to purchase this organization, according to our own Courtney Cox?
According to Coco's bombshell sources, Sam Kennedy. We don't know if that's Fenway Sports Group.
It is. So Fenway Sports Group. Sam Kennedy, did he come on Thursday when he was scheduled to?
Yeah, he was not Thursday.
Does Sam have a problem telling me I'm wrong?
He does not. We love when he comes on and tells you you're wrong.
Exactly. So I read all of this to say that the Celtics are, that the Red Sox and the Fenway Sports Group are heavily engaged in talks to purchase the Celtics. What newspaper does the Fenway Sports Group own?
The Boston Globe.
Okay. So if this were written in the Boston Globe, the fingerprints of the Fenway Sports Group would be all over it. Does that make sense to you?
Are they friendly with the Post, though? That seems like a strange marriage.
Okay. Just follow me.
Okay.
It would be an odd place to have it be. And you wouldn't want to give it to a direct competitor in the Herald, even though you print the Herald and nobody buys it anymore. It was the biggest pain in the ass to buy that stupid subscription because of the Wiggy story. But either way, You wouldn't want to give it to a direct competitor in the Boston Herald.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
So you put it on the conservative tabloid.
They put it on the waiver wire.
In New York. And you say, okay, here's the deal. They're asking for $5 to $6 billion when the company's going to be losing $80 million a year the next several years. They're out of their tree. That is what I would do if I were the Sam Kennedy and trying to get the price of this organization back into some form of reality.
Well, I mean, I would imagine your conspiracy theory or your play the source is going on with the Grosbecks. And if that's the case, can't they just decide not to sell it to them? Don't they have the right to sell it to whomever they want?
I made that point to Greg. Greg got very mad at me because I said that the Red Sox, when they were sold to John Henry did not have the high bid. O'Donnell and local bidders had more money than the Henry group, but Bud Selig fast-tracked a group that he thought would be the best stewards of the organization.
Well, in this story, they reference Steve Pagliuca, the current co-owner, who has 20% of the team, co-chairman of Bain Capital, as somebody who is interested as well, interested in buying. That was not part of Courtney's reporting. But they do reiterate in here that Fenway Sports Group are interested as well. So I guess the big picture is, what do you want to happen here with the Celtics?
I mean, how about a round of applause to Courtney for that story?
I think, I mean.
You were very dubious in the hall.
I was not dubious.
You certainly were.
I was not. Just wanted to make sure we were buttoned up here.
She said, Courtney, can you spell source?
I did not say that.
That was rude.
I did not say that. We had it on the front page of the website.
It's real damage.
It's interesting, and nobody has refuted it. So the Celtics sale is going to hang over this team probably for the rest of the year, but it sounds like they want to get it done by the end of the calendar year.
Doesn't it bring you back? I don't know. I don't know why I thought of this first when I read this Grosbeck sales story in the New York Post. It brought me back to the quote from Wick saying we get paid in parades,
mm-hmm.
where his father's like, F off, paid in parades.
You think he used that as his excuse with his dad? Like, look, I mean, we're not, it's a break-even business, but we got a parade out of it.
Oh, my God. It is interesting, too, just in terms of the interest, that the Celtics, unbelievable run, best, you know, could be, I would say, top 2 to 3 teams of the last 20 years in all of the dominance of these Boston teams. The NBA Finals averaged a 19 rating, which is shocking. The Red Sox World Series, 5 games, just like the Celtics. Both teams were best teams of their respective history.
Has that even
history.
Been published anywhere?
Nowhere.
So you found that out?
Yes, from Ben Cafardo, who's a PR guy.
So local rating, Boston Metro.
Averaged a
19.
Which is compared to the World Series against the Dodgers, which was a 5-game series. One game ended at like 5 a.m. that you were a part of. That series was, a 40?
And things definitely are changing in that world.
But
I mean,
not
every
really.
Year,
like
but
NFL ratings are up. I mean, that was interesting to me. If I am buying the team, the Zenith, the pinnacle,
right,
was sub-20 for the NBA Finals.
Oh, well, I wonder if that's part of it, too.
And the Celtics themselves in 2010 against the Lakers in 2008 were in the mid-30s.
But don't you think that's part of it? Potential buyers?
A 7-game series against the Lakers did a 30-something. This series was a less than 20 share.
People want the team, but they want it. Do they want it at $6 billion? No, they're trying to create some drama here to force the sale at a lower rate. You know, whatever they can do to to muck up the process. That seems to be the way it's going. What do you think this means for you as a Celtics fan or the team going forward, the sale of the team? Do you find this interesting, the Grosbeck potential drama between father and son? 617-779-7937. It is the Ken and Curtis program on a football Saturday. Boston College coming up
and
on the AM at 12:15.
I want to get this out of the way because I don't like victory laps. But Thursday night, great event, Cisco Brewery. I walked my way over. And I once again saw the empty bus lane that I walk every day or mm-hmm. I see every day driving home from work.
You put your life on the line
to
walk in the bike lane.
I was basically Shelby Scott, if you know who that is. But I walked it and I filmed it. And then within 16 hours, Mayor Wu rescinds Summer Street, the lane I was walking, bus lane that wasn't working, quote, as intended in bustling Seaport. There will never be a bigger win in my life. So I would like to just say to everybody that drives to South Boston, you're welcome.
How did you feel in the Seaport? Did you feel a pull to move there?
None whatsoever.
No?
God, the girls there look so unhappy. It's like, oh my God, I have to go to two more core power yogas today. So Stefan lets me into our condo.
Well, we want you to feel in a safe space. We brought in a Boston College guy to produce the show today. Braverman's off this week. So Zach Coe is in, BC grad.
All right, Zach. Class, so, what year? Make me feel old.
Just this year.
Holy God. Well, congratulations. Communications major?
No, I got my grad degree in sports administration.
Okay, you're already smarter than I am. All right, well, Zach, very nice to see you. What do you think? What's going to happen
today? What's the spread, by the way? Nothing you can bet on it. 16?
Yeah. It's down to 14 now.
Ooh. Not something we pay attention to.
So the sharp money is on Boston College.
Yeah.
Numbers gone down. Opened at 17.5. Now it's sitting at 14.5.
Ooh, I like it. What's the score prediction, Zach?
I got the Eagles 31 and the Mizzou Tigers 27.
Wow.
Bang.
If that happens and they're 3-0 coming back for the already sold out Red Bandana game next Saturday.
I have a good feeling about this. I really do. I saw Billy O on SportsCenter yesterday. BC's not got this pub since Matt Ryan was around. So
honestly, I mean, the Patriots won. It was a big week for that franchise.
Oh, they win this one. It is. You're looking at I would say legit shot for the 12-team playoff.
2-0 Pats, 3-0 Eagles.
Can't wait.
Football town. Here's what's trending here on the Kenny Curtis Show with Co.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Red Sox fell to the Yankees last night, 5-4 at the final from the Bronx. Sox entered the seventh inning with a 4-0 lead until Aaron Judge did this.
Pitch. High drive, deep left field, forget about it. A slam for Judge, and the Yankees lead it 5-4.
Sox now sit 4.5 games back of the Twins for the final wildcard spot with just 14 games left to play. They'll be back in action tonight or this afternoon when Brian Baio takes the mound opposite Garrett Cole. Our coverage of that game kicks off at 12:05 with Joe Weil on the MassMutual pregame show. Then Joe Castiglione and Will Fleming will have the call of the game on the Shaw's and Star Market. WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. First pitch set for 1:05. Pats getting ready for their Week 2 matchup at Gillette against the Seattle Seahawks, already ruling out guard City So with an ankle injury, while safety Kyle Duggar, defensive end Dietrich Weiss, running back J. Michael Hasty, and guard Leighton Robinson are all listed as questionable. The Seahawks will be without linebacker Uchenna Nwosu and tight end Farrell Brown, while star running back Kenneth Walker is listed as doubtful. In other NFL news, the 49ers have ruled out their star running back Christian McCaffrey for their Week 2 matchup with a calf injury. Finally, the 24th-ranked Boston College Eagles are in action this afternoon, heading down south for a top 25 matchup against 6th-ranked Mizzou. Kickoff set for 12:45. And as Ken said, you can hear our coverage of that game on 8:50 a.m. starting at 12:15. My name is Zach Coe. That's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Well, one of Wick's appearances on the Greg Hill Show, Wick talking about construction of the roster, the
Brad Stevens hire.
The whole build, yeah. I mean, he's done a great job. If you're going to rank... I was thinking about this with the Kraft news this week, which very much came out of nowhere. I don't know how you read the whole ESPN Kraft story. I don't think it has a lot of legs here locally. It's just kind of rehashing old stuff. But I guess it did bring up the topic of, does Robert Kraft deserve to be a Pro Football Hall of Famer? Most people agree yes. Why he's not, it becomes, I guess, the source of that piece. But, you know, what did Kraft do well to deserve Hall of Fame status? What did Wick do well to build this team?
I mean, when we were in Atlanta and Charlie Weiss joined the show, he said it as well and as perfectly as anybody ever has. Bill thought they won because of him. Tom thought they won because of him. And Robert thought that they won because of him. I mean, that's exactly the truth. And what is so unseemly about this story about Kraft and the NFL Hall of Fame in Canton is the personal vendettas on both sides shading what should be a relatively non-complex problem.
It seems to be just Kraft versus Jerry Jones, right?
But they all have their sides, and that's why, you know, in reality, I could have owned the Patriots if they drafted Tom Brady and they got Bill Belichick at the start of the entirety of that two-decade run. But what Robert Kraft did that was Hall of Fame worthy are two decisions. One, trading the Jets to get Bill Belichick.
Yep, that's the big one.
Two, allowing Bill Belichick to bench the guy Robert Kraft had just made the highest paid player in NFL history right after Drew Bledsoe won the AFC. Like that Tuesday following the AFC Championship in Pittsburgh, where they flew right to New Orleans in 2000, it would have been 2002 at that time, that whatever suite they were staying in down in the French Quarter, that Robert Kraft allowed his head coach that he had just traded 2 years prior, traded for, to make that decision, that's a Hall of Fame decision.
And that decision, sticking with Bill right. through Spygate and a lot of personal
Well, I think they would have won either way at that point. But,
well, no, but I mean, he could have broken ties then.
Right, but you can't have it both ways. You can't have tell everybody he's a schmuck.
Well, he tried to have it both ways.
Right, but you can't. That's the reality of it, you know. And
maybe he's paying the price for that now. There was some allusion in that article to maybe that's the reason he's not getting it. People blame Kraft for Spygate.
Like, Bill Belichick is made the best decision any coach has ever made in my life when he did that. It is impossible to overstate that decision. You can say Bill Belichick didn't know Brady was going to be Brady. Of course, nobody did. But in that moment, Drew Bledsoe came in, didn't play great, but you win the AFC Championship. Tom Brady suffers a high ankle strain. And you are, because of 9/11, there is no 2 weeks. It was just Sunday to Sunday. And you allow Bill Belichick to make that decision, and Bill Belichick makes the decision to stick with Tom. What that set in motion is absolutely Hall of Fame worthy.
Okay, but flip it over to Wick Grossman.
I mean, Jerry Jones, all he did was hire Jimmy Johnson, and Jerry Jones ruined it by firing Jimmy Johnson.
All right, and that's the point. He's in the Hall of Fame and Kraft is
exactly,
not.
Exactly, that's
which,
what I'm saying.
Which galls him.
It's obscene.
So then over to Wick, who I know you said when the news came out that he only owned 2 or 3% of the team, whatever it is, you were gobsmacked. Great word. But still, without Wick's decisions in the last even couple years, that one that's referenced there, the Brad Stevens to GM, the trade flurry that Stevens was able to make, I mean, that's similarly Hall of Fame stuff, whether
here's
he owned
my question.
20, 30% or 2%.
Here's my question, Ken. Can you show me an example of an owner spending like crazy, winning at a high level, and losing his shirt in any sport?
I don't have the books to know that.
But wouldn't we know that? Wouldn't we know of people that became destitute?
Went bankrupt. Right. Like on the street.
The fact is that like whoever owns the Golden State Warriors, they spend like $400 million in tax a year.
Yeah.
They built their own arena in San Francisco, which is the only place more cumbersome to do that project and more expensive. But I don't buy it.
Well, you have to be a billionaire by default to own a team. So even if you're getting chopped $100, $200 million a year, you can handle it.
Well, right, but that's what I'm talking. Like, that should be who buys these teams.
Right.
You don't buy a Ferrari because of the gas mileage.
Yeah, you want to show it off,
right?
You want the status of it.
Like, how many of these guys buy a yacht? Is there anything that depreciates more rapidly than a massive super yacht?
Do you think that's a good purchase? I actually think about that way too much. Like, if I win the lottery, would I buy a yacht?
No.
It feels like it's everybody goes to it.
It is a. Because it's just the definition of some superfluous thing that you don't need that makes you feel amazing. But
you hate traffic and crowds, and that gets you away from the crowds, especially during a pandemic.
Ken, I'm saying, sure, why not? If you have any relation to what lost money feels like,
yeah,
then it is not the venture for you.
So if I won the lottery and bought a yacht, you'd think I was a douche.
No, I don't think you're a douche. I think that's like the Herb Chambers yacht looks awesome.
Yeah.
Why not? I'm just saying, you can't in one breath say you are really connected to the bottom line and spend $300 million on a boat that's worth $150 the second it leaves the harbor.
I guess, yeah. So I don't know how we get off on that. But just going back to the whole the Fenway Sports Group and their portfolio, it seems more obscene But it actually, if you're in that area of wealth, it makes sense, right? You want the portfolio of riches to show off your Ferraris. You have six Ferraris instead of one.
Right.
So what's wrong with that?
Like, why do you think Jeff Bezos is interested in buying a professional team in any of these major sports? It's a vanity play, and God bless him. Like, Ballmer, the guy who owns the Clippers?
Yeah, but you if Fenway Sports Group buys the Celtics, you would not bless them. You would be nervous.
No, I'm not. You're misconstruing what I'm saying. The reason why these really, really rich people want to get in on this is because, A, every guy is like a failed athlete at their heart. And this gives them some, you know, feeling of success in that realm. The same reason Bezos has that phallic structure into space. It's like, you know, you're just overcompensating. But the reason they do it is because it is a really fun new toy. It's a Ferrari that wins championships if you do it right. But the people that inherit these teams are all far more connected to the bottom line, like that Steinbrenner next of kin. Like, they don't spend like their dad did because it's not theirs. They don't know how to do it.
But it's opposite for the Grosbecks. It seems like Irv got in, although it's been 20 years, right, since they bought it.
Is it possible that Wick did this thinking that the winning would make his dad be like, wow, you're right, this is awesome?
Maybe. Or just lead to more riches that, you know, beyond what they're seeing. They actually,
the parade, what do you think they got
the parade
from Netflix?
Came and it was actually not worth that much.
But what do you think they got from Netflix? What do you think they get from all of their branding going into this season?
Well, I think they were trying. I mean, obviously, Wick was on and talking about the Netflix. You know, they tried to keep up a little bit with some of the things that the Red Sox are doing going on. But it doesn't, to your point about the ratings, it hasn't resonated as much maybe as they thought. Now, a texter said, 978, ratings were down in Boston because everybody knew the Mavs couldn't beat us.
Oh, that's right, because people here don't watch teams winning. That is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. When have you ever turned off a game because you know you knew your team was going to win a championship?
Yeah, it seems a little far-fetched.
The way people like excuse or tie themselves into knots explaining ratings. Like, no, the team was not as viewed as we thought it would be. In fact, it had half the ratings they did when they were in the NBA Finals against the Lakers and lost in 2010. That's a big story. If it was the Red Sox, it'd be covered everywhere.
Well, over to Kraft's team. Patriots tomorrow, 1-0. The lid lifter at Gillette, welcoming in Seattle. The 10-year anniversary here of the Malcolm Butler Super Bowl, and he'll be in attendance.
Why did more people watch the Patriots winning seasons than their losing seasons if they were more likely to win?
What were the ratings of that Super Bowl, by the way, in Boston?
Which one?
Pat Seahawks 10 years ago.
I believe it did a 60-something. The most watched local Super Bowl was that second Brady with the Bucks. Second most watched of all the other. So pretty wild.
Pretty wild. And we'll get to Brady in a second. Trying to hold off on that because, as you pointed out, when we get into the Brady stuff, sometimes we can't get out.
Can
of
we get
Brady
into
stuff.
The Belichick stuff?
Sure.
Or what were you trying to?
I was trying to spin it to the game tomorrow, just to start a little bit. I just want an overview of current day, looking to tomorrow, not to Brady, not to Belichick, just current.
Pretty
team.
Inexcusable week from Belichick, you would agree.
Pretty pathetic. Not unsurprising.
That's not the question. I didn't ask if it was surprising. Pretty inexcusable.
It's excusable because he's trying to take the high road.
What? He's taking the high road?
He's trying to not engage.
The week before, he engaged ripping them for keeping all the players he signed.
He didn't rip them. He was praising them. All my players.
You thought that was praising?
I thought he was praising them, yeah.
You can't
good
even
good
do
job
it,
by Gerard.
You can't even do it with a straight face. He hasn't mentioned his name.
I want to see when they lose if he talks about that.
He talked about them the week before.
Okay, but they haven't lost the regular season game.
What? He was talking about them at length, and Patricia and he on...
That was not ripping them. I mean, he can really do some damage. If the Patriots lose a game and Bill rips into them...
He engaged on the topic, and then on every outlet, you agree he told Pat McAfee, you can't ask me about it.
There's no doubt. Yes.
What would you say if that was Tom Brady?
I wouldn't rip Brady. I would say he's trying to take the high road and avoid talking...
Can we get someone else
in
here?
It's like Herb Street when he says, I can't talk...
We have someone who can't even tell the truth.
That's the truth.
You would support Tom Brady.
Yes, I always support Tom.
Ken, it is pathetic. Even for you, you should be able to admit that's pathetic.
Can we just talk about tomorrow's game?
Briefly? So I'll take that as an agreement.
Can we get to Bill and Brady next in a little bit? Just this year's team, Gerard.
Well,
can we talk about Gerard?
Belichick's related to this year's team.
I agree. We're going to get to it. Just patience. We went off the bat, Celtics.
We didn't do our sound effect.
No, we didn't do our sound effect.
Our whole feng shui.
Zach's in today. We're a little off.
It's okay.
Game tomorrow. Big game.
Pow.
They could go 2-0. You have predicted it. You took them in your survivor pool.
There has not been a game. You were texting with me over the weekend about, or maybe early this week, about Patriots v. BC. And what was more surprising, FSU? I thought it was a good question.
Thank you.
The Patriots week one win, I don't know. Not maybe since I was at the first game following the, who the hell is the guy that knocked Tom Brady? Mo Lewis hit. And it was Brady's first start against the Colts. And the Patriots were 0-2. And they won like 44-13. It was mostly running the ball, but they stopped. They totally suffocated Peyton Manning. Not since that game have I felt the way I felt in terms of just out of nowhere. It was similar to the BC Florida State game in that I kept waiting for that. You know, there was a score late to make it an 8-point game in the third quarter with Florida State. And then the Bengals made it, I think, a 6-point game relatively late.
Well, this is what I'm talking about.
But the reason the Bengals game was so much bigger than the BC Florida State game was that it was total. I mean, I guess both are somewhat sustainable, but it was so shocking how few glitches there were. BC that Bill O'Brien had been in the NFL. They had done the communication without the signs, which just changed this year because of Connor Stallions in Michigan. So there was like a built-in advantage for Bill O'Brien, and we all expect him to be a good coach and fundamentally sound. I thought the Patriots were going to get Brissett killed. I thought that the issues of getting a play in would be massive. I thought the first play of the game with the new kickoff was a penalty. I'm like, oh my God, this is going to be a dumpster fire.
Right. In fact, if they don't start Jacoby Brissett in that game, do they win?
I don't know.
They don't. Come on. You know. Brissett played a veteran, solid 49th NFL start game, and they won it on their terms. Mayo, big check mark, and you felt things that you haven't felt in 20 years.
Yeah, no.
Think about that.
I don't know. That's sort of an odd take about the quarterback. If Drake May played the way I saw him in the preseason, they could have won that game.
Come on. I mean, it's a rookie. Look at the rookies around the league that played. They're going to have mistakes.
Okay.
Brissett played mistake-free.
The star of the game was Ramondre Stevenson, by far, and Jonathan Jones. That tackle,
Keon White.
The single play of that game, the fourth and two.
Great.
Was and the way those
they had several of those,
but
Marcus Jones.
To me, it was a Robert Kraft absolute masterclass. They played for Gerard Mayo.
Yeah.
It was the right decision.
Yep.
I don't know how you could dispute it.
And it was the right decision to play Brissett.
Okay. I mean, to me, the defense was the story. If you're talking about the offense, the story was Ramondre Stevenson. And Hunter Henry had the play of the game, breaking up that awful. It would have been another back-breaking red zone interception.
But they were 40% on third downs. Brissett had a 16-yard run on one of them.
I would say jog.
Okay. I mean, he connected on a couple of key third down short yardage passes that moved the chains. I mean, he was good. He was solid. I think I threw out 20 of 30 last week, and you mocked me, something like that. We were right on the money. We were in the area.
Another text we had, you were like, we kind of predicted this in a way. Like we said, this is how they win.
But think about
that. Stevenson.
And it's tempting to get pulled off into the Belichick topic and the Brady topic, but the team in front of you is a story.
Because they're related, though, because they played for their coach, because the coach is someone that understands them and communicates with them.
Okay.
And the coach that they used to have is showing why he's not here because of the petty nonsense he's engaging in.
I just hope Bill, if we want to go there, sticks with this. I'm not talking about him all year.
You really think if they get blown out on Sunday?
He's going to pivot.
Ken.
I'm telling you. I think that's Bill's approach. I don't want to talk about the Patriots.
Okay, let's bet something. Right. If they lose, he'll talk about them. What can we bet?
What do you mean, define talk about them?
You just said I hope he doesn't talk about them, so whatever you mean.
Well, I mean, you're going to catch me on a technicality. Like, he'll mention them in passing or something.
Okay,
like that.
Can we play the audio of Lombardi discussing the Patriots game plan and then the pivot Bill makes?
We'll do that coming up. You can join the show, 617-779-7937. Let's get Sorge in here quick before the break. Hello, Sorge from Mansfield.
Hey, what's going on, guys? How are we?
Good. How are you doing?
So I was going to talk about Celtics ownership, but I think that basically the only thing there is that short term will be fine, and then long term, you know, some contracts I think that Wick maybe would let Brad give out, I don't think maybe the new ownership would be a fan of. But with the Patriots tomorrow, I'm going to guarantee a win, and I'll tell you why. So here's the thing.
You
the
can guarantee... Oh, sorry. There's a great Tommy Boy line.
Oh, go ahead, Curtis.
No, it's
go
okay.
Ahead.
The brake pads. You can, if you haven't seen Tommy Boy, go watch the Tommy Boy brake pads. Guarantee it's great. Carry on.
I was thinking more of the Charles Barkley guarantee. But, no, because really quick, guys. I mean, the Patriots do two things well in the fact that they run the ball very well in the because they are able to control the time of possession. And this defense is so good. And I think the difference between this Patriots defense as opposed to previous Patriots defenses is the fact that previous Patriots defenses were good as a unit but did not have individual great talent, whereas not only is this good defense good as a unit, but you guys have guys like Keon White who can really pass, do great in pass rushing, and also with Gonzo. And this Seattle team is, they barely, you know, the highlight of that game was the Bo Nix two interceptions, but even with that, they barely beat the Broncos. And what's so interesting is we're keep focusing on Jacoby Brissett, and he had a higher QBR in week one and then Geno Smith. So I think it's going to be like last week. And have we confirmed whether Kenneth Walker is healthy for tomorrow's game, or is it still a game time decision?
He's doubtful, I believe, is the official designation. Thank you, Sorja. Good stuff there. So that means Charbonnet, right, will be in, who's a pretty good running back. But I don't know. You think Geno's better than Brissett? It's kind of a wash. It's kind of a toss-up.
Quarterback I would battle. Say slightly better.
Geno's slightly better?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you get the home game. So although I saw Mike Reese had put out a stat that the Seahawks are pretty good on East Coast trips, actually, over their last 20 years or so. But it is a pretty even matchup. Definitely a winnable game. And by the way, coming up next, not only will we hear Bill pivoting, there may be a clip out there. Bill's on like 8 outlets. He may have talked Patriots on Inside the NFL. Did you watch Inside the NFL? That seems to be have just been released, and there's a clip out there. He maybe did engage after the win. I want to see if this qualifies on your...
I haven't seen it.
Okay, we're going to hear it next. Nothing wrong with that. Classy Bill. Took Michael Lombardi's cue for the Patriots and agreed that it was a nice win. Solid win. So what's your problem with that, Curtis?
If you're not going to be honest, I don't want to do the conversation.
Well, he's pivoting, definitely. He's avoiding talking Patriots. I agree.
So, if he told Pat McAfee, don't ask me about them, which you believe.
He was on for how long with
McAfee? 45 minutes.
45 minutes.
What was the biggest story of the weekend on the field?
Injury to Jordan Love.
Okay. What was the biggest story of the weekend on the field?
No, it's probably not Tua.
No. Last weekend.
Last week win, that was the biggest upset win.
If you're going to be on the field talking about it, That was, and it would, the first game in a generation that the team had not been coached by the person you have on your set. And you don't, his son happens to be one of the coaches on the defense.
But,
So to tell that guy you're not talking about them is why he's no longer here.
Yeah. Well, it seems petty, but if it's a year-long plan to not engage.
It doesn't seem. It is. You can say it.
Well, I want to see how he reacts after a loss. But now, because Bill's on so many media outlets,
Ken,
there's a new one that's in.
Can you work with me? It was petty to instruct a host to not ask you about the team's first game without you in a generation.
If he's only going to talk about them after losses, yes, it's very petty.
Thank you.
We don't know that yet. They haven't lost yet. They might not lose. Maybe they'll go 17-0. Now, Zach Coe has found on Inside the NFL, this was cued, I will say, the whole big clip here, it was cued up by Chris Long, who's also on the show, and he actually has a picture of Keon White that he's showing Bill on the desk, on the dais. Is it a dais? Is that what you call it?
I don't know. Dais is like this place you do a speech from.
He's like trying to trigger Bill into talking about the Patriots.
So it's so true that he doesn't want to talk about them.
But eventually, he does give praise to Keon White and gives him his game ball for Guy of the Week.
I got to give it to Keon White.
Get to know this guy. Get to know this guy.
I got to give it to Keon White.
Yeah.
That kid, first of all, I love Keon White. He can play outside, can play inside, is tough, strong, can really play to run, play to pass. He just needs a little bit more experience and technique. But, Chris, you saw what he did in week one.
Okay, so he goes on.
Wait, that's what you said?
Well, he talked about Keon White. He praised him. He gave him the game ball.
That proves my point.
Why? He's talking about the Pats?
So he has Chris Long goading him into talking about him. He literally did the same thing a week ago. He said, oh, they're keeping all my guys, doing all these things. Keon White is a guy he drafted.
Well, and earlier in the clip, Chris Long says, I think you drafted this guy, Bill. Isn't that right? And he's like, ah, I think I did. So that is going to be the narrative. He will take credit for the guys he drafted for as long as they continue in the league.
It is so weak.
He still had
pathetic.
A better week in media than Brady did.
Great. The ratings would suggest otherwise.
I don't know. Bill's still going. He's still cooking. Brady, I think, is going to unretire and come back. It was so awkward. But maybe
doesn't this crystallize the Linda Holiday? He they won on defense. Like he.
Oh, that's definitely true.
I mean, this guy. That's why he doesn't have a job. He surrounds himself still with idiots and Bobos and Lombardi and Patricia. That's how he'd make his staff.
I still think the Dallas possibility is strong. I don't know how it didn't happen last year, but now that Kraft and Jerry Jones continues with this ESPN story.
I saw the clip on Inside the NFL. Bill talks about how the Bengals lost the game, doesn't give the Patriots any credit, and doesn't mention them at all.
Just heard him mention them. He gives Keon White his game ball. That's not true.
You're instructing BC smart guy into creating fake illusions.
Fake illusions?
Actually, all illusions are fake. That was redundant. I apologize.
You just heard the audio.
Anyway,
that is unbelievable. It's, you know, he's got a reason for doing so because he's going to take credit for drafting him. Which, by the way, he also drafted Marcus Jones. Marcus Jones had a great week last week. This defense is better than I thought.
Right. Guess what? All they needed was a coach to maximize their ability, and they got one.
But don't you think Kraft and Jerry Jones, the hate is still significant? That there's a reason Ken, Ben Natta publishes that story.
I've said that so often. Like, I believed it to be
but
done
it has,
last year.
Next year it has to happen. Bill to Dallas. Has to happen.
Okay, so the Cowboys are 1-0. Who do they have? He's doing the it's Saints-Cowboys tomorrow?
Saints-Cowboys, yeah.
They go to 2-0.
Did I see the Cowboys have not lost to the Saints at home in like 25 straight games or something like that? Co, you got the stats on that. Is that true? Look that up.
That
seems outrageous.
Wild.
Anyway, Saints had a good week one.
They did.
Let's go to Rich in Springfield here on the Kenny Curtis Show. Hi, Rich. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. Can you hear me?
We got you.
All right. Hey, just wanted to touch base on I didn't watch the Dynasty, but I know Chris has talked about it in the past. Was it true, Chris, that Robert Kraft was saying that he pretty much lost control of the team and lost control of Bill running the team? Was that true?
That Robert Kraft said that he and Bill Belichick lost control of the team?
No, that Robert Kraft lost control of Bill Belichick running the team.
I don't believe that. I mean, I'd have to rewatch it. I watched it a while ago. But no, I think that what Robert Kraft had you believe in the Dynasty docuseries is that the fact that Bill Belichick and Tom Brady made it through 2018, 2019 is because of his steadfast ability to be diplomatic and carrying the ship in the right direction.
Okay. Because I was just trying to turn that point towards him not making the Hall of Fame. And obviously physically, and he's been trying to make the Hall of Fame for the last 4 years, and he's obviously upset about it. I just thought as an owner and doing what he's done, I don't see a way he can possibly make the Hall of Fame.
Oh, I mean, I disagree. I mean, I think the trading for Bill Belichick in and of itself is a Hall of Fame decision. I mean, and the notion that all these people that whenever we talk about this, they say that Bill has a non-disclosure agreement where he's not going to talk about the team.
Right, 4-3 texter.
Yeah, he talked about the team at length in the build-up to week one on the Underdog God-Awful Podcast Network.
Well, maybe he just wants to take the high road. He didn't think it was a pretty enough win. They have room to grow, and he talked about Keon White instead.
If Bill Belichick were still the coach and Tom Brady was an analyst, going out of his way to not talk about it, Ken, you would be rightfully ripping him a new one. Be consistent for once in your life.
The Cowboys have a 16-game home winning streak on the line tomorrow. They haven't beaten the Saints 16 straight times, so sorry about that.
It's okay.
The Cowboys' factoids are way off.
It's all right.
Still pretty impressive, 16 straight home wins. But they'll need Bill to get over the hump. Let's go to D.C. and talk to Justin. Hello, Justin. Good morning.
Good morning, Ken and Curtis. I want to talk about Boston College football. I have not been this excited in probably 15 years to watch the Boston College Eagles today, and I want to get into why they're sustainable. But, Curtis, could you explain for people just how futile the program has been over the last 15 years since Matt Ryan left and how shocked we all are right now?
Does that need explaining?
I mean, the way in which the entirety of Boston College has been run has been twofold. get really, 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 really excited when a mediocre coach wins a couple games, extend them with money that Father Leahy doesn't want to spend so that you're hamstrung in your pursuit of the guy to replace the coach that you overpaid in the first place, all the while losing all the good recruits from the Northeast, not building on what the organization or what Boston College football's program has been all about, which is between the tackles on offense and defense, finding a pro-style quarterback, getting lucky, but always being competitive. They finally have a guy who I believe means it when he says he wants to be here. His wife's an alum. Boston has got great things that his family utilizes. His family didn't follow him to Tuscaloosa. And the combination of Bill O'Brien's arrival with Tommy Castellanos's, you know, ascent, getting the offense into this position, what they did against Florida State and then obviously to Duquesne is absolutely repeatable, and they have a legitimate shot to be a top 10 team for the first time since 2007.
That's a hot take, and I love it. I agree with everything you're saying, and I just wanted to expand a little bit on that. It all stems from Bill O'Brien, and Patriots fans and everybody listening to your show should really buy into this team, because the changing landscape and changing nature of college football actually benefits a program like Boston College that knows their identity, has a coach that will recruit to it, but also is a school that is academically inclined, can get those 3 or 4-star recruits that are willing to sit a year or two, build them up, develop them. And then because of the transfer portal, you're going to get your former 4- and 5-star recruits that sat 1 or 2 years at Alabama, at Ohio State, and they're going to be looking to start right away. And Bill O'Brien can get those guys here, plug them in, and create some magic. So I think this program is on the ascent. I love how WEEI is starting to focus on this, because Boston, we love winners. And I'll leave you guys with this. I think we have a real chance of upsetting Missouri today. We just got to keep it close for the momentum, but I think we're going to win. And I say that as somebody that has a Boston College watch party being hosted at my house in Washington, D.C.
Wow.
For the first time in 10 years. So the momentum is high, guys.
What is happening?
I'll be there too. That?
Thank you, Justin. That's the first Boston College call, like breaking down the team, that I've ever taken on this radio station.
Yeah, and it's amazing for all those UMass people who are like, oh, look at how BC sucks. I love UMass, and they should play the Jermaine Wiggins kids, but it ain't that easy.
Were you a Jeff Jagosinski fan? Were you like, when he left, was it wailing and
well, that was when he was
teeth?
Here at the end with Tom, with Tom Matt O'Brien. Ryan.
Yeah, and O'Brien.
Yeah, no, I mean, the Jags, I mean, they've just been the list of awful
Frank
coach.
Spaziani
disaster.
Adazio.
Adazio, dude, total douche.
Jeff Hafley. They did beat SMU in the Fenway Bowl last year.
Yep, Hafley is now the
top
offensive
coordinator. Top 10.
If they win today, they're a top 10 team.
Do you think they can make the playoff, basically?
If they win today, they're a top 10 team.
Whew. All right. All that, and Tom Brady might play again. Could he actually play again? Curtis has had a day to simmer on this. We got him all fired up yesterday and emotional. But now that he's had a day to actually calm down and rationalize, does Curtis believe Brady will actually quarterback the Dolphins, and should he? We'll discuss that next.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.